glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, November 6, 2020. Jumping right into the book of James, a book that gives us hope, that points us towards God and his principles, his precepts, how to have a relationship with him, how to be the fragrance of Christ in a hurting world. Hopefully during this tumultuous times, this time of uncertainty, who's the president and what's going on and all the aggravation with the COVID-19 and various expectations, and maybe you're just dealing with work issues or family problems, relational issues. Well, we're hoping that both Jason and my, our prayers this morning are that as we read God's word, as we talk about it, we'll find points of application, points of hope, that we'll get to understand God's character, that he's for us, and yet that might be taking us through a season that's hard, that's really refining our character, that's maybe not where we want to be, but his word is true, it's inspired, and so I'll begin reading from James chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Now go on a little further here, Jason. I'm not sure where we'll land or what we'll talk about, but if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That's James chapter 1, verses 22 through 27. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
Good morning, Mark. Well, this is great. I mean, you know, and I think that as we are journeying through this season of life and through this time, this passage in James, I mean, really beginning with verse 19 and going all the way through verse 27, are really profound and powerful for us right now. And really, I think we need to spend some time trying to soak in this. So if you're listening to this right now and you've been enjoying, I want to just maybe gently prod you to go back a few weeks ago and start back in verse 19 and listen to those programs and then meditate upon this word, because I think that this word is so important for us right now. For most people who have a Bible, I have an ESV open right now in front of me, and the title for this block of scripture is Hearing and Doing the Word. But in my Bible, not that I think that I'm better than the person who edited it and put those titles in there, but I crossed that out and I wrote down Revealing the True Self. Because what James is trying to tell us here is these things that he's going to address and he's going to confront in this passage reveal the true self, our true self, who we are. In fact, he begins us by saying, know this, which means that there is a knowledge that is pure, good, and right, and there is a knowledge that we sometimes have which is not pure, good, and right. And what he wants to do in this passage is to have them know the perfect knowledge, the good knowledge, the knowledge that comes from God that leads to God and leads others to God through the witness of our life. And so he says, know this, beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And he's saying, listen, the problem you guys have, and it's an age-old problem, it's not something that's new. In fact, everybody who's listening probably knows somebody who does what I'm going to tell you, which is, as you're having a conversation with them, you realize at some point that they're not really listening to you. All they're doing is formulating in their head and in their heart their response to what it is you're saying. They're more interested in their own thoughts than they are in the exchange of thoughts that is happening between the two people. Right now, we see that all the time. We call it intolerance. You know, that we see where people aren't even hearing one another. And that is because we are not quick to hear. We are much quicker to speak. And because we're quick to speak, we invalidate the other person's thoughts, feelings, and ideas, and they do the same to us. And then what do? We become quick to anger. And we show that we are not patient. We are not exuding the fruits of the Spirit that proves, that shows that we actually have the Holy Spirit inside of us. Francis Chan wrote in his book recently, well, it's a few years old actually, but I read it recently a number of times, Letters to the Church, that if you do not see the fruit of the Spirit in somebody's life, chances are that there may not have been the work of the Spirit in that person's life, because the Holy Spirit's presence, the fruit, is supposed to be apparent. Jesus and John the Baptist said, what, you'll know them by their fruit. You'll see the fruit falling off the trees. They'll be evidence. And James is going to go on here to talk about evidence when he talks about being doers of the word. And he says in verse 21, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with we. So we talked about this. This is as we go through the world, as we're ministering and loving people in a lot of difficult places, we get wickedness and filthiness on us. And the washing comes, as Ephesians chapter 5 says, through the word. Now, I know Ephesians 5 has to do with marriage and husbands using the word of God to wash the filthiness from their wives, you know, and minister to their wives just and love them just as Christ loved the church. But that idea is not just for marriage. That idea is for all of us, both personally and in our marriage relationships and communally, that we come to the word of God to help wash away the filthiness, the wickedness, the evil that gets on us as we move through the world. We are not to extricate ourselves from all that is happening around us. We're supposed to be involved in what is happening, but not invested in it.
Mm-hmm.
So involved, when I say that, I don't mean that you go into sinful places and you sin, but you go into those places and you love and you speak the word of truth in those places. You know, how does a place that is entrenched in darkness move towards light if no light ever comes into it? And sometimes I think as Christians, we make the grave mistake of saying, well, that's bad, and so we're just going to close the doors on that thing.
Hmm.
You know, we're just not going to have anything to do with it. And in that, we move our influence and our ability to create change in there, because in the midst of all these dark and wicked places, what are there? What is the constant in all of that? There are people who are entrenched, encamped, and in bondage to wickedness and evil, who Christ calls to freedom.
Hmm.
And he calls us to go in there as like SEAL Team 6, you know, to go in there with the gospel and to love them, because really that's the heart of what everybody's missing, is to be loved. And we do that, what, with meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So he says, listen, when you go into these places that are wicked and they're filthy and they're difficult, you go in there with a sense of humility to the word that has been implanted into your heart. Mm. You know, what does the Bible say? I've hidden my word in your heart that I might not sin against you. And I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against others. I've hidden your word in my heart that as I go into these places, I go there with a confidence of who you are and what you are, and that your way is better. And I go in there with a confidence that I know that this implanted word is actually able to save souls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I think as Christians, I think that we don't, we believe it, and we say we believe it, but we don't live as though we believe it. We don't live with a kind of confidence that God's word can save.
Yeah.
And then he says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So he says, listen, if you hear it, and you don't go do it, then I don't know what you heard. Maybe you were just entertained. And we talked about this last week that, you know, I think that in America, but I think it's a worldwide problem, but I think particularly in America, we have created through the seeker-sensitive church movement and that a whole generation of hearers, people who love to listen. In fact, isn't that true? I mean, we've got podcasts. We've got all kinds of things that people can listen to. And so we become consumers. We just hear things. But do we hear things in a way that entertain us, or do we hear things in a way that changes our lives? And God's word is never meant to simply entertain us. In fact, I would venture to say it's not meant to entertain us.
Hmm.
It's meant to change our lives. It's meant to be transformational. When we hear somebody who's getting up to give a sermon, you know, oftentimes I'll hear this. I go to conferences and I go to different places, and I've heard this about brothers and sisters that I know who preach. Somebody will say, man, they're so funny. I just love the way that they talk. I could listen to him reciting the phone book. You know, and you go, I don't think that that's what's happening up there. Do you realize that when that person gets up to share that word with you, that they are possessed by the Holy Spirit of God, and that that Holy Spirit of God is speaking through them and to you, that that is not simply a word that is being given to you for your entertainment, but it is for your transformation. And you are unfortunately listening to it with fleshly ears rather than with a heart that is open and ready to receive what you're being given, what you're hearing, in such a way that it changes your life. It's happened to me many times where people get done on a Sunday morning and they go, well, I didn't like that sermon. It really bothered me. And I'll just tell you right now, I like hearing that more than I like hearing, great sermon, Pastor. Really, what did you like about it? Well, I mean, that one thing you said about your kids. Really? Because that one thing I said about my kids was probably something I should not have said, because they're sitting here and they don't deserve to have the limelight and the spotlight put on them in such a way that I make light of the things that they struggle with publicly. That was the weakness of my own flesh right there. But the thing you should have grabbed a hold of was the things that were being said about God. And that's not to be critical of people, because people are people. I mean, we all have our own weaknesses and we all have our struggles, and we hear certain things and they make us chuckle or we make a connection with those things. But when somebody comes up and tells me that what I said bothered them, I know that that's because the Spirit is doing some kind of work. The Spirit has scraped a scab or a wound that needs to be scraped, that needs to be addressed. And so we need to be hearers of the word. Now that brings us to where we are today. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and is not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like. He's saying, listen, if you just hear the word, you're going to forget it. If you hear the word, you're simply going to look in the mirror and go, ah, look, I'm pretty good today. Yep. Okay. And then you're going to forget. You're going to go upon your day, because when we're not looking in a mirror, a lot of times, and we're invested in doing different things, we really don't think about what we look like. I don't, at least. Maybe other people do, but I really don't. You know, it's only when I kind of, you catch yourself in a mirror, do you stop for a minute and you go, wow, you know, I should get a haircut. Oh, my gosh, I need to shave. You know, but other times you don't really think about those things. And he says, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, which means, now that this is important for people, because the Bible doesn't say this simply, again, just to be entertaining. The Bible says this because it's true. James uses the word perseveres because it's not easy to look into the perfect law, the law of liberty. It's not easy to look into the law of freedom. That's what it means when it says the law of liberty. It's not easy to look into that because the natural self, our sinful selves, like being in bondage to sin, like being in those chains. If we're honest, we would say, no, I don't like it. I know you don't like it, but your sinful fleshly self does like it, because you get to sin. You get to be in sin. You get to do those things that bring you momentary, I would say, kind of fleeting joy. And this is exactly what Paul says, right? Paul in Romans 7, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, because I think it just lays out for us the absolute humanity of what it means to journey with God. Paul is so honest to us in that passage. When he says, listen, I keep reading the law and I keep seeing how I'm supposed to be, but I can't be the way I'm supposed to be. I keep doing the thing that I ought not to do. In fact, Paul builds such a head of steam. He goes, wicked man am I. Who can save me from this body of death? He says, like, I keep killing myself. And I know that I shouldn't do it, but I keep doing it. And then he says, thanks be to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who delivers me daily. He says, listen, I need Jesus. And so James says here, the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, we're going to call it the law of freedom, because it sets us free. It reveals Christ, who sets us free, and perseveres, which means Paul had to keep coming back and looking at that law and keep walking away and going, why can't I do it? Why can't I do it? I mean, just think about Jesus' simple command to love your neighbor as yourself. Is it easy to love your neighbor? Or do you have to persevere in that? And I'm not talking about the neighbor who you get along with and everything's wonderful because you guys share the same kinds of things. I'm talking about the guy across the street who doesn't mow his lawn. I'm talking about the person on your block who drives too fast. I'm talking about the people on your block who can be frustrating at times, who you're going to have to persevere to love. And so you have to persevere in the law. You have to persevere in reading God's word through the difficulties of realizing, God, why can't I do this? He says, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. So James is saying, listen, the more you spend time in God's word, the more you seek the freedom that comes from God, the more you're not weighed down by those chains to actually do the thing that God wants you to do. Mm. But you're going to have to persevere in it because it's not easy. Anybody who told you that following God is easy was a shyster.
Jeez.
Following God is not easy. It is good. Listen, anything that's good is hard. Marriage is good, and it is hard. Relationships that matter are good, but they're hard because relationships that matter have people who tell you the truth, have people who don't let you get away with your shenanigans. Anything that's good is hard at times. Learning a new task that makes your life better is oftentimes hard and frustrating, but it's good. And so following God is difficult. Why is it difficult? Because God doesn't go, Jason, I just want us to be good friends, and what I really want to do is I'll overlook all of the stuff that you do that's inconsistent, that's bad, and all that, because I'm just so happy we get to be friends. No, God comes into the relationship and says, listen, there's a whole lot about you that's going to have to change. I don't conform to your image. In fact, you conform to mine. And so we are conformed into the image of Christ and God. And God doesn't leave us in a losing proposition, by the way. He gives us his Holy Spirit. And so we become a doer, and he says he will be blessed in his doing. Why will you be blessed in your doing? Because you're doing what God wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so this isn't monetary blessing necessarily. This isn't like, you know, wow, if I just become a doer of the word, I get a big mansion or I get a nicer car or I get any of those things. When you become a doer of the word, you're doing what God calls you to do, and therefore you're drawing near to God. And the joy that you have, the blessing that you have, is being near God. The very thing that you have to persevere in, the very thing that is difficult and hard, is also the thing that is absolutely beautiful. Listen, I have been married for 15, 16 years. There are people out there who I'm still junior varsity up and against how many years they've been married. But I've been married 15 years, and it's the hardest endeavor I have ever done. And it is also the most beautiful. It is the most difficult thing. The greatest struggles, the greatest battles, the greatest places where I've had to seek God and change my heart and the way I do things. But it also has so many beautiful memories that it is such a blessing and a treasure to me. And that's what God is saying here. That's what James is saying. And then he says this, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Now, religion gets a lot of a bad rap, but religion really just means to believe in something, a system. We live in kind of a time where there's all kinds of religions. But the time that James is writing in, there's not as many as there is now. There's Christianity, and then there is kind of pagan religion, and there's a bunch of pagan religions. But for James, he's saying, listen, religion, what he's talking about is he's talking about following Jesus. He's talking about this set of beliefs that encapsulate following Jesus. And he's saying, if you don't bridle your tongue, he's just warning people that you're gonna prove that you're not who you say you are. You know, Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, Jesus said, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Now, James has been talking about the implanted word. He's been talking about the Holy Spirit. He's been talking about being doers of the word. He's been talking about persevering in God's word and having that effect and transform your life and being blessed by that. And then he says, listen, if you don't do any of those things, I just want you to know something. At some point, the jig is up. At some point, your tongue is going to give witness to what's really in your heart. And James didn't make this up. Jesus is the one who said it. Jesus said, listen, out of the abundance of your heart, the truth will be told. So what you store up in your heart, what you treasure, will at some point come out, and you'll be found out. That's why Jesus loved to use the word hypocrite, because Jesus said, listen, there's a real problem that I have that's going around, and it's that people love to wear a mask and pretend to be something that they're not, but at some point, everybody realizes it's just a show. And people who simply hear the word and don't do the word are putting on a show. People who take part in filthiness and wickedness and do not lean into the implanted word, which can save the soul, is just putting on a show. People who are quick to anger and quick to antagonize and shame and hate others are just putting on a show when they tell you that they love Jesus. People who are not persevering in the word and who are not doing that and who act as though they're blessed are just putting on a show. And James says, listen, don't be religious. Don't be the kind of person who, when you open up your mouth, everybody knows the truth. And they don't know the truth of who Jesus is. They know the truth of who you really are. And what they find out is that you're not following Jesus like you love to talk about. And this is a really harsh warning for us. And then he goes on 27 and says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God. By the way, he's using the language of sacrifice here. The offering that is pure and undefiled to God is this. Visit the orphans and widows in their affliction and keep oneself abstained from the world. He's saying, listen, visiting the widows and the orphans shows that you love others more than you love yourself. And it shows how much you love God, because that's what Jesus talked about continually. And it also shows that you're willing to move counter to the world, because the world is all about the haves and the have-nots. And Jesus' world, Jesus' economy, is all about all of us together. The less than, the least of these, Jesus calls into his kingdom, and he calls those who work in his kingdom to go to the least of these, to lift them up and let them know that the ground at the cross is absolutely level. That the richest of rich stand at the foot of the cross, and the poorest of the poor stand at the cross, and all of us are rich in Christ.
Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and I love this part, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And Jason, you and I have both talked about this. We want to be all about lifting up Jesus, focusing on his finished work on our behalf, the good news message that God loves the whole world, especially during these times when we're talking about politics or the COVID or wow, 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 all these different things that distract us from the greatest message that we can share with anyone, that God loves them and Jesus has provided us a way or an access to God the Father in all eternity. And thank you, God, for James in these words, that our religion is worked out through what we say and how we share and how we love. Oh, it's a good word for us all. Thank you, Pastor Jason. Be in church this Sunday, or at least attend via Zoom or the various mechanisms or ways your church is meeting. Disciple one another, grow in the Lord, be in his word, and love on God and love on others. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.